Well, hi, this is James Gall, and this is the very first session in our class on your personal dream language. And I guarantee that you are going to love this class. And one of the tops of all of them that you have ever taken with me and that we're going to take together, because guess what? I'm going to learn right along with you. Now, in this particular class, I need to give you a little bit of an overview here to begin with. There are 12 lessons. Now, there might end up being 13. And two of these will be original video messages of my late wife, Michael Ann Gall. And they are vintage messages. And, of course, I could not bring her back to do a retake of her messages. And as I looked at them, they were so full of life that we decided to keep her original messages, and it will not be a disappointment. But my voice, my look, and my sound are so much different from when I did the original lessons, and that is maybe around 18 years ago. So I have needed to redo this a long time, and I believe that it is going to be better than it was previously. Now, not only are there technically 12 lessons, and I have also gone through Michael Ann's two lessons, and I have reformatted them to a little bit. So there is the opening scriptures and closing prayers for you. And then and these are broken down, like I often do, according to now the book. And so there are then, I believe that this is called parts. So there are three parts, and then there will be four lessons then in each of the three sections or three parts. So it will go something like this. Part one is on building the framework. Building the framework with chapter one or lesson one on the Master Dream Weaver, lesson two on my personal dream journey, that's mine. And then chapter three is absolutely amazing. You'll have material in this that you will not have in other people's material. On dream legacy in Hebrew and Christian history. And then chapter four, or lesson four, on creating a culture of revelation. Part two then is on learning the vocabulary. And then in it will start off with Michael Ann's first lesson with my assistance on dreams work. And then lesson six is the diversity of dreams. Lesson seven is understanding the dreams you dream. And lesson eight, or chapter eight, is properly interpreting dreams. One of those along there will probably be done in a part one and a part two style. Part three then is walking in wisdom, with chapter nine called Stops Along the Way. And it is a very personal style of Michael Ann's, where she's actually sharing with you about, oh, maybe up to 20 different dreams that she logged in journals and things of that nature. Chapter 10 is journaling as a tool for retaining revelation. And then chapter 11 is something I rarely ever get to teach, and it is on when God seems silent. chapter or 11, the 11th lesson is worth the price of this entire class. Lesson 12 is on handling dreams with wisdom. Okay, so I hope that that little overview will help us out. Let's pray and jump right in now. Father, thank you for this time together, and it is such a joy. I believe that your dream life is going to increase. Those of you who have been walking in dreams, but it has gone dormant, I speak to you. It is going to be like a bear who goes into hibernation, and it is going to come forth once again. Those of you who are new in this area, you are going to have the time of your life, and your dreams are going to grow, or going to be emanated, and it is going to absolutely explode. Those who have had muted dreams in like black and white or just dull, I say to you, it is going to shift in your life from like a black and white old TV into omnivision and into a color stream in Jesus' name. And I say that old men will dream dreams and young men will have visions. And I say that there is going to be a cluster anointing that is going to be upon this class. And people are going to find people, and there is going to be joining, listen to this, new teams are going to come together from out of taking and sitting under the anointing of discovering your dream language in Jesus' holy and great name. Oh my goodness, how am I going to get through this material? It is going to be a dream. Yes, it will. This is James Gall, by the way. How could you expect for there not to be something spontaneous? All right. So, in building the framework on part one, most of us find ourselves slithering down the stream of a chaotic activity, never allowing ourselves to find the shore of silence where we can pause to ponder the mysteries of God's design for our life. Yet, it is in those private places that God's presence and God's word seeks to invade our lives. It is there that the master dream weaver comes to us, eager to reveal himself in unique and unusual ways. Now, with every class, I will have a theme scripture, and then I will always have a closing prayer. So what is then the opening verse for this class? Well, of course, I'm going to start elementary, and I'm going to build along the way. So the opening scripture for this particular lesson is none other than Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. By the way, I sure hope that some of you are going to do this class in groups, and that you will become a facilitator in Jesus' name of this material, and you will be a group leader. Let's get going. Okay. And it will come about, Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, and it will come about after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind. Okay. How much of mankind? Say all mankind, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your old men and your old men will do what? Dream dreams. Your young men will see visions, even on your male and female servants. I will pour out my spirit in those days. Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. Again, Father, we remind you of your word, and it says on all mankind. It doesn't just say upon believers. It says on all mankind, I will pour out my spirit. So we are asking for the sphere in our lives of people, all of those in all of our relatives, all of those in our workplace, all of those in our neighborhood. We're asking, pour out the revelatory spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the introduction into the language of heaven, and the way I'm introducing us at the very beginning, is a bit of an unusual manner. It is, God is the master dream weaver. Through dreams, God communicates directly with us concerning our destiny, as well as the destiny of families, nations, and the entire world. Many people today, particularly in the Western culture, never recognize that it is God who is speaking to them in this way, because they have been conditioned by a skeptical and sophisticated society to discount the language of dreams. Within our generation, God is reconnecting us to a vital part of our spiritual inheritance, the dream weaver. Let me go to the book. Have you ever watched a master dream weaver at work? The speed and the fluency of practiced hand flying across the loom and spindle, interlacing the strands of the fine linen, is truly impressive to behold. To the untrained observer, there is something almost magical at the sight of the warp and the weft coming together in perfect harmony to give shape to patterns and designs seen only in the mind's eye to the weaver. Weaving is one of the oldest human arts. Mankind has been weaving fabric for clothing and other purposes since before the dawn of recorded history. Yet for all of its beauty and intricacy, the human art of weaving, like all of man's other creative arts, is but a dim reflection of the creativity and the artistry of the master weaver himself, who wove the heavens and the earth together and who created man in his own image. The Psalms proclaim, the heavens are telling the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the works of his hands. When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars, and consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which are you have ordained. What is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? And on and on and on. Now, my mother didn't do the loom, but I had grandmothers that did. My mother made quilts. What an amazing craft. She would win first place at every county fair and even in the state fair in Missouri because of the beautiful artistry. But my wife's father, when his wife passed away, he remarried, and the lady that he married had a loom, of which then Michael Ann inherited the loom. And the width, the warp, this artistry, just absolutely outrageous. It is amazing. And I was using just this as a beginning parable of how intricate is God in our lives, the way he takes and uses scripture, the way he takes his colloquialisms, the way he takes symbols from our own personal life, and we will develop this as we go along. The language of heaven. Over 200 times, the scriptures give reference to dreams and visions. Over 300 times to angels. There it is, the 300 times the scriptures refer to angels. God is the supernatural God, and he communicates to us, his people, through supernatural means. Some of this is just literal, and a lot of it we have to search out, because it is patterns, and it's patterns. It's colorful, and a thread in the color means a certain thing, and we have to search it out. What is a dream, anyway? A dream is a series of thoughts and images or emotions that appear in our minds or our soul area during, of course, sleep. Sometimes they are straightforward, but most of the time they are not. In the case of the it is Holy Spirit inspired dreams, often there is the need for careful interpretation, as these dreams tend to be parabolic in nature. In other words, like the parables of Jesus, the dreams have a meaning and is sometimes hidden. You ever play hide and seek? God does. From Mark chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. As soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, "To you it has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, get everything in parables, so that while seeing, they may not see and perceive, and while hearing, they may not hear and not understand. Otherwise, they might return and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand the parables? How will you understand all the parables?" This is absolutely amazing what Jesus is unfolding here. Because then, after he would tell it in public, there would be an invitation for the disciples to seek him out. And in private, he would give an understanding in private. Jesus' pattern of teaching was to speak in parables and mysteries. If it was that way then, why do we expect it to be any different today? Not to keep people in the dark, but to whet the appetite of those who were truly hungry for the truth. He wanted to draw them in so they would press forward to know more. He loves this journey of hooking us. Jesus, why do you do this? Because he's after a relationship, not just knowledge. Hooking us with the revelation with the purpose of actually reeling us into his very heart. Dreams and visions often use parabolic language. Like parables, dreams are mysteries that need careful deciphering. Dream language is the mystical language of heaven. Write that down or underline it, please. Dream language is the mystical language of heaven. And in discovering your personal dream language, what it means to you is not always what it means to another. Uh-oh. Hold that one. Insight from Mark chapter 4, verses 22 to 25. For nothing is hidden except to be revealed. Thank God, hallelujah. That's not in there, by the way. Nor has anything been secret, but that it would come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. That's a really big one, by the way. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. And more will be given to you besides. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. Do you know that in preparation for this lesson today, I took a nap and I had three amazing dreams? That's pretty good. I'm hoping that as I teach you, I will have an increase. I think that would be like God. After all, I have studied and restudied and restudied this all over again. Now, let me keep going. Whoever has, to him shall more be given. That's why I shared that with you. And whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. One, things are hidden for a divine purpose, the purpose of being revealed. God is not going to speak secrets to you, or does he? Things that in the beginning you might not quite comprehend and understand. But as you go on the journey and receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation, you will learn how to understand mysteries and secrets. Not only will you receive secrets, you will learn what secrets mean. Two, we need to be attentive. Listening in many ways is a lost art. Did you catch that? Listening in many ways is a lost art. I hope that maybe you have read or taken some of my other classes, like Hearing God's Voice Today or The Seer, because I cannot reteach everything I have already taught. But there is a lot in that statement right there. Listening in many ways is a lost art. But it's a vital skill we need to learn in order to become fluent in our personal dream language, anchored in the Word, of course. Walking in the fullness of the Spirit is like sailing. We must learn to put up the sail to catch the wind so as to be driven along by the wind. But it is like moving in the Holy Spirit. We also need to have an anchor that gets dropped beside the boat, which is like the Word of God. At times we need to go into the harbor and drop the anchor, rest, meditate on the Word of God, and get refueled. And then there is the other times that you get so bored that you want to go on another adventure, right? And you do what? But then there's the other time that you pick up your anchor, you carry the Word of God with you, you put up the sail, you catch the wind, and you go where the Spirit leads, like the Celtic Christians. And the anchor, the Word of God, is what grounds us, so that what serves as a solid foundation. Insight from Numbers chapter 12, verse 6. Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision, and I shall speak to him in a dream. Is there any prophets here among us? He will make himself known to you in a vision, in a dream. God says that he will speak to his people in a dream, and that he will make himself known in a vision. He uses both of these instruments to draw us to himself and into his plans and his purposes. You know, it doesn't always happen, but obviously I'm actually celebrating my 50th year in full-time vocational ministry, and I have now been prophesying for 52 years. And it's the normative that when I go and I'm sent, and there is a difference, I almost always have a dream about my assignment, and I expect it. I will have, and there's different levels of dreams, I will have a dream about my assignment. And if there is a prophet among us, he will be given a dream, and I will have some form of a dream. It might be about an individual. It might be about that city. It might be about that movement. It might be about that congregation, or it might be a business gathering. I will have a dream. I would say, I don't know, percentages, that's hard. 90% of the time, I will have a dream about that assignment. Insight from Job chapter 33, verses 14 to 18. And I speak over you, increase in Jesus' name. Indeed, God speaks once or twice, and yet no one notices it at all. In a dream, a vision of the night, when sound sleep falls on men, while they slumber in their beds, when he opens the ears of men and he seals their instruction. There is so much teaching in this few verses right here that I could do an entire session just on these few verses. And he seals the instruction. That is part of why he speaks through dreams. Man's logic of stubbornness and debate and opinion is like turned off because he's asleep. He gives a dream. It is sealed. Or in other words, it's contained. It is in there. He may turn man aside from his conduct and keep man from pride. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from passing over into Sheol. Often our minds are so preoccupied that it is hard for us to hear from God. He has spoken once. He has spoken twice. And I often say, this is about the persistent loving God. It is about Jehovah Sneaky. And he comes in and he opens the ear. And if he cannot get our attention during the waking hours, he will speak to us during our sleep through dreams. Yeah. So pray that way. That's not witchcraft and manipulation. Pray that God uses dreams. Our Heavenly Father will use dreams and visions as an avenue of identifying the hindrances that are in the path to his purpose. Insight from Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. It will come about that, and this is the theme verse for this first lesson. I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and on your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions, even on your male and your female servants. I will pour out my spirit in those days. Dreams and visions are a part of the prophetic outpouring of God's great love in the last days. Now let's listen to this phrase. It's a little catchy, but it's true. It takes a young man's vision to fulfill an old man's dream. So within this verse, it is containing the blessing and the requirement of the joining of the generations. Yeah, it does. There are things I have seen, things that have been revealed to me that have not come to pass yet. Perhaps some things that God speaks have a purpose behind them that deal with discipling and mentoring, because the purpose contained within them, now my vernacular might not be exactly, verb tense is exactly correct right now, the dream is going to be so big, you think it's all is all just about you in the beginning. It's not. Because it is going to take the joining of the generations to see it fulfilled. Because your calling becomes to be a father, a mother, an equipper, an investor to see it fulfilled. From the Hebrew and Old Testament words, three very similar Hebrew words that are used in the Old Testament to refer to dreams, and whichever word is used, the Old Testament makes it clear that God is the master dreamer. He downloads his dreams within us and thereby transforms us into dreamers as well. And I am not a Greek and a Hebrew scholar, so my pronunciations will not always be accurate. Shalom. To cause to dream, to be a dreamer. He wants that to happen for you. Shalem. To dream. Shalom. To dreamer. From the Greek New Testament. Onar. Now, I have done extensive work on this in some of my other, particularly the seer. Onar. This is a common word for dream. It is the kind of dreaming we all do when we sleep. God can and does use these common dreams to communicate with everyday people. Example, Joseph's dreams to wed Mary, escape to Egypt, and to return home. And the dreams of the wise men who are told not to return to Herod, Matthew chapters 1 and 2, and see Matthew chapter 27, verse 19, Enupnian. This refers to a vision or a dream we received while asleep. Enupnian stresses the surprise quality that is contained in that dream. It is the kind of a dream that has a startling effect while waking suddenly from a dream and finding yourself strangely alert with your senses particularly acute. See Jude verses 8 and 10. Who are the receivers? The secret to becoming a good dreamer is to become a good receiver. God not only sends dreams to those who believe him, but also to unbelievers because he wants their hearts to turn to him. Dreams that are received by prophets. Abraham, Genesis chapter 15. Jacob, Genesis chapter 28, verse 12, and Genesis chapter 31. Daniel chapter 7. Dreams received by unbelievers. Abimelech, Genesis chapter 20, Laban, Genesis chapter 31, Midian, Judges chapter 7, Pharaoh's butler and baker, that is found in Genesis chapter 40, Pharaoh himself, that's in Genesis chapter 41 Genesis chapter 41. Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel chapter 2. The wise men, Matthew 2:12. Pilate's wife. Now that's a wild one. Let's just say that. Matthew 27. That might not be correct. But verse 19 is what this says. Dreams received by other believers. Solomon, 1 Kings 3:5, Joseph, Matthew 1:20. There are different transmitters. Each receiver needs a transmitter. In human experience, dream transmission originates any one of these three different sources. A, personal God. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, and Acts chapter 17. God, obviously, is the transmitter. The natural man, and this is a big subject, and I've taught through this in other materials in very thoroughly. Ezekiel chapter 13, Jeremiah 23, verse 16. Various sources of demonic darkness. Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 18. And it talks about there that, you know, there was a certain woman who was following Paul and the disciples. And after several days, he turned to the woman, and it was a spirit of divination. The purpose of dreams, insights, from Proverbs chapter 25. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search out a matter. It is the glory of kings to search something out. You're a king, and God gives you the right to go to the king's palace. He wants to give you the keys of revelation to be able to search something out. Being able to understand revelation is about being a son, a daughter. It's about your kingship. What are dreams for? To whet your appetite, because if you're left musing, you're more likely to find out what the dream was all about. They are to draw you into an interactive relationship with God. Now, I would love to have gone much deeper into all of this, and I'm sure you would love for me to. The dreams to believers. Now, you have the book. Where in other classes, we have not had the book. So please be reading this book as I am going along there. I want to go back to the dream transmitters and the second transmitter. The second transmitter or source of dreams, the natural man. Natural or soulish dreams and visions are produced by natural processes of our mind, will, and emotions. Dreaming is the normal part of the human brain function when in a deep sleep state. Sights, sounds, smells, and other sensory stimuli from the day provide the raw materials from which our brain create natural dreams. Sometimes, if we are not careful, we can confuse the natural dream with the dream from God, and we will be developing these things a whole lot more as we go along. And then the third source of dreams transmission is originating the realm of demonic darkness. False and occultic dreams fall into this particular category. And, so I just want to say that the Master Dream Weaver is going to be at work just because of sitting in this type of knowledge and this kind of anointing. Though I might go quickly at times through material, I want to say to you, you are going to be on the increase. When I have taught some of this in the past, people who did not have dreams, well, everybody has dreams. But the Holy Spirit realm of dreams would simply be activated. I'm going to be real personal here and say that I remember the time that Lou Engel, who's for many people is very well known, others he might not be, and he knelt before me and he said to me, "This is James, I do not have dreams. I want dreams, and I know that you dream. Pray for me that I would dream." I waited I knew that this was a moment from God. It could be a moment in God. I waited. The sobbing, weeping presence of God came upon me. I started weeping over this radical forerunner in God. I started weeping to such a degree, this is going to be a little vivid, that not only tears, but snot just started coming out of my nose. And I just was weeping. And I started just praying over this dear man of God. He started having intense dreams from that point. I want to say over you that someone, a Deborah, is going to have a dramatic increase of dreams. Someone has been praying, because you have dreams, for a confirmation. I don't know why I get the name, but a Connie. And you're going to know that you know that you know that you have dreams that are from God. There's someone who have night terrors. And I break that off by shutting the door of a trauma that happened in your childhood. And I place, I don't normally say this, a guardian that should have been placed by authority and was not. And I place, as though even at your childhood, and I go back there and I place, call forth a guardian at your door, and I shut the door of trauma and I place the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say no to trauma, and I say yes to your divine inheritance. Someone else is asking the question, am I a dreamer? Well, I'm going to tell you an example on how you're going to know. Because you have tormenting dreams. That is a sign of your calling, because the enemy is hitting you in the very area of your calling. So we shut the door to the tormentor, and we flip it, and we say yes to the, and we will get into this, the call, the dreams of destiny. Now, the divine invitation. God has a dream for your life. The Holy Spirit desires that you have the spirit of revelation upon your life. He has a great plan, and he wants to use these ways to speak to you. Perhaps you will be a Joseph. You will have a dream, blab it prematurely, get into all kinds of trouble, and end up learning about the ways of God. Not just the knowledge of God. God may raise up such people in the earth that the world will eventually come and say, behold, here comes the dreamer, expressing our desires through prayer. Lord, I ask for your grace, and that your spirit of wisdom and revelation would be released into my life in a greater measure, into our lives. I live for you, Jesus, and that the fragrance of your great presence would be with us, with me, wherever I go. I don't want to live an ordinary life. I want to live a supernatural life that would cause people to say, who is that strange man, that strange woman crying in the wilderness? Behold, here is a dreamer. Yes, release dreams to us, through us, and weave an incredible tapestry for the world to see for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen and amen. Well, this is James Gall with the very first lesson on the Master Dream Weaver in our class on discovering your personal dream language. Amen and amen. God bless you.